You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies, the Wednesday edition of this show. I'm Mark King, as always, your host. Make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at King underscore producer, where we can continue the conversation. Make sure you're asking questions. Send me questions for the Monday mailbag. You can tweet them to me. You can DM them to me from either account. Or you can just email them to me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Whatever works. Just get the questions in. We'll answer them every Monday, the middle segment, and every Monday show. Will the Monday mailbag and we'll answer them then. Today's been, I record these at night, obviously. Today's been a crazy day. Tuesday has been such a weird, strange day. We even did emergency podcast about the Grizzlies signing Austin Rivers. And then turns out that was actually not even credible information, even though the information came from Shams, which I think everyone assumed and thought that obviously it was credible. So I do apologize for that. We definitely don't want to be spreading misinformation or bad information to everyone. So I apologize for maybe jumping the gun on the emergency podcast. I thought I'd give it enough time to make sure it was the real deal, but apparently not. So the word came out, I guess, after we dropped that podcast that Austin Rivers will still be courted, or still hasn't cleared waivers yet, obviously, but will still be courting by several other teams. And as far as I have found out from Harrington and other people, is that the Grizzlies are not going or considering signing the Grizzlies. So there's someone in the Grizzlies camp in the front office that is definitely definitely providing bad information for sure, because it's happened twice now in a week. So it's definitely something that these guys are, I don't know, looking to find out. I don't know. But it's definitely spreading bad information. So again, I apologize for the Locked On Grizzlies podcast doing that. It's not something we want to do here. Not something we want to be a part of, but, you know, again, Shams is usually a pretty credible source, obviously, and so is Woj. So you take that with a grain of salt. But in the past week, we've had a trade that hasn't happened and a signing that hasn't happened. I think the Grizzlies definitely need something like Austin Rivers. Again, if they do end up signing him, who knows? He could clear waivers, and that could be out there. They're not interested, just to continue talking behind the scenes. There's no telling. You know, if they do sign him, just like we said on the emergency pod today, it would be an upgrade if depends on who you weigh. If you weigh Marshawn, it's an upgrade. It's a slight upgrade of where you're at. And so, I think it's a low risk, high reward situation. If they do end up signing him, or if they are able to, if there are definitely other teams interested, it definitely changes it for sure. But if they're able to, you know, it's a low risk, high reward situation where, if you get them and it works out, it's great. If it doesn't, and you have waived Marshawn, you're in the same situation that you are now, which is playing guards too many minutes that don't really need to be playing those minutes. So hopefully the Grizzlies can do something. They have to do something on the trade market, on the buyout market. Obviously, what they have now just isn't working. Good news is Marc Gasol looked a little more like himself the last game they played. Again, he played entirely 2 minutes. Excuse me, not the last game they played. When they played the Rockets, he looked like himself. Against the Warriors, there's no reason for him to have played that many minutes, and we've already been through that on the last show. But today, we'll talk about the Grizzlies game. We'll talk about the Grizzlies Portland game, excuse me. We'll preview that game. And then we'll have, my friend Steve on from the Portland website. He writes for, the SB Nation's Portland site, also USA Today. Very, very knowledgeable, very good. You can follow him at Steve D Hoops. Really, really smart dude. We'll talk to him in the third segment. But we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll talk about this Grizzlies Blazers matchup and see what we can break down. And then we'll hear from Steve from the Blazers side of things and what he thinks will happen in this Grizzlies Blazers game. Just stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. As always, like I said, we're having Steve from the Portland website, and he also writes for USA Today, the SB Nation's Portland website. He writes for the Blazers Edge as well as USA Today. You can follow him on Twitter at Steve D Hoops. Super smart guy, good friend of mine. I've known him for a couple years. He's fun to hang out with, and so I really appreciate him coming on. But look, just wanted to talk about the Grizzlies Blazers matchup. Blazers are now 17-13 in the NBA. That's fifth in the Western Conference. They're coming off two wins against the Lakers and I think the Clippers and the Clippers and the Raptors, the Grizzlies obviously played the Rockets just a week ago, last Wednesday. So it'll then meet them again very quickly. The Grizzlies in that game, they were able to shut down Nurkic, which is hard to do sometimes. He's averaging 15 points a game. And that last game, he only had 2 points in the matchup. So that was a big difference for the Grizzlies. And really just defensively, they were really, really good against the Blazers. They held them to 14 points in one quarter, 20 points in another quarter. They were very, very good defensively outside of the first quarter. The first quarter, they scored 26, but outside of that, they were really, really locked down. And they only scored 83 total in that last game. This game, CJ McCollum, though, went off for 40 points, which is just crazy. I mean, he's been killing the Grizzlies forever now. But even with that, with McCollum going off for 40 points and Damian Lillard being largely not great, 4-for-18 for 14 points, and Nurkic was 1-for-15 with 2 points, had 10 rebounds, but didn't really matter. The Grizzlies actually, believe they actually out-rebounded them that game by six or by five. So a team that is pretty good on the boards, they were out-rebound them. They were able to really shut down Damian Lillard. But this game comes down to Mike Conley. Does Mike Conley play? Does he not play? If Mike Conley plays, Mike Conley was 9-for-18 in the last matchup, 23 points. Jaren Jackson had a good game. But Marcus Gasol offensively was not good. Defensively, he was great on Nurkic, but it was not good offensively. He was 4-for-15 for 9 points, just not great. But again, this was right after, he's been struggling with an ankle injury, even admitting that as well. Marshawn Brooks, Jermichael Green had good games off the bench, but this comes down to Mike Conley. If Mike Conley can play well, if he can play at all, really and truthfully, he saw him sat out against the Warriors. If he can play at all, will be a huge thing. If he doesn't play at all, it's a tough game to win. The Blazers team is a good team. It's not somebody that you can just. It'd be difficult for you to go in without Mike Conley and think you can really have a legitimate shot at winning this game. So it really, largely depends on what he does. If Mike Conley plays, I think you got a great shot at winning this game. I think this is the most winnable game you probably have on your road trip. I mean, if you're going to go 1-4 on your road trip, I think this is probably the one you're going to win, or you want to try to win at least. I think this is a very winnable matchup if Mike Conley plays, especially if I think Mike Conley's playing Damian Lillard pretty well over the past few years. I mean, I think most people would agree that Mike Conley's won that matchup. So, CJ McCollum's, he's going to get his points. It seems like he gets his points every time he plays the Grizzlies, and he's going to get his, and it's really, they were able to stop everybody else and really slow down Damian Lillard and Nurkic, because they only have really three players that average double figures. It's McCollum, Lillard, and Nurkic, and then you're looking like 25 points a piece for McCollum and Lillard, about 15 to 16 points per game for Nurkic. So McCollum's going to get his, but this is a team that if you can slow down those other two players, then you have a legitimate shot at winning this game, because they don't have a bench that has someone off the bench that really plays a really, really good game and just comes out and scores really, really well. Evan Turner is really their only bench player, and I think as he goes, so does the bench. So if he's not having a good game, if they're able to slit on Evan Turner off the bench, that really limits their bench unit as far as overall scoring, because he's the one that really, really initiates the offense from the bench point of view, from the second unit. So you're able to slow down Evan Turner, you're able to really, really limit their bench play. So it really comes down to if Mike Conley plays. If Mike Conley plays and you're able to slow down Damian Lillard, you're able to stop him from scoring 27 points a game or just be ineffective. I mean, he had 15 points in that last game, but he was not effective. He was 4 for 15, so he was very ineffective. So this is a team that in the Blazers that doesn't play at a super high pace. They're 19th in the NBA in pace, but they're very efficient. They're 6th in the league in offensive rating, 11th in the league in points per game. So not a great defensive team. So if the Grizzlies are able to clamp down on defense like they did before in this matchup just a week ago, if they're able to clamp down on defense, they're able to slow down some of their main players like Nurkic and Lillard, except McCollum's, I think, because McCollum's going to get his points, and he's always gets his points against the Grizzlies. If you're able to do those couple things, I think the Grizzlies can score enough offense to eke out a win. Now, again, if Mike Conley doesn't play, it changes the whole game, I think, completely. If Mike Conley doesn't play, it's still a winnable game, I think, but it becomes much, much, much tougher to win this game. It's not if Mike Conley doesn't play against the Warriors, I just say sit everybody, let them rest. Mike Conley doesn't play the Blazers. I think, you know, play everybody. Hopefully Marcus Gasol can go off and you have a shot, an outside shot. But hopefully Mike Conley can be available to play tonight against the Warriors. Hopefully he'll be healthy and his hamstring will have, you know, calmed down, loosened up a little bit, so to allow him to play. And hopefully the Grizzlies will be able to get out a win, because they need all the ones they can get at the moment. They just got to get out of this December, this just tough schedule in December. So they need all the wins they can get. Hopefully they can get one against the Blazers. But coming up after the break, we'll talk with my good friend Steve, writer for the Blazers Edge, writes for USA Today. Follow him on Twitter at Steve D Hoops. Really smart guy. Really good conversation. Well, that'll be up next after the break.
Welcome back to the show. I got Steve from SB Nation's Portland site. What's going on, man? How are you? It's been a long time since we spoke.
Yes, Mark. I'm good. I'm happy to be on here and talk a little basketball with you.
Yeah, man. The Grizzlies-Blazers game happening tonight. Again, you can follow Steve at Steve D Hoops. He writes for Blazers Edge. Also, writing for the Rockets Wire, USA Today Now, which is awesome for him. Great writer. Make sure you follow us up. But let's talk about this Grizzlies-Portland game. The Grizzlies-Portland Trailblazers already played once. Just last week in that game, Nurkic only had 2 points, and he's averaging 15 points, I think, which is largely the difference in that game. What does the Trailblazers have to do to get him more involved in this game against the Grizzlies?
I think with Nurkic, you just have to keep him patient with those looks in the post. I think he can kind of resort to kind of these weird half-hearted kind of flip shots. And I mean, he went 1 for 15 from the field against the Grizzlies, which was just an outright disaster, and followed up with another subpar game right after that. So the key with him is just get him more involved in the pick and roll with Damian Lillard and get him moving downhill towards the basket. His post game is hit and miss. He wants to play that back to the basket style basketball against bigger centers like Marc Gasol, but it doesn't always work out in his favor. And I think that's definitely what we saw in the last matchup against Memphis.
Yeah, he, like I said, he went 1 for 15, was just 0.067%, which is just was awful. But you know, that's largely a lot to do with Marc Gasol. Mark was playing better than before he, you know, it was right after he got hurt, but Mark's having a better season defensively, and he's largely played most centers pretty well. CJ McCollum in that last game drops 40 points on the Grizzlies, because why not? Do you guys, is it something in the water that he loves? He loves playing the Grizzlies. I'm not sure what it is, but what do the Grizzlies do to stop CJ McCollum from scoring 40 again?
I mean, McCollum's entire origin story as an NBA player really starts with the playoff series against Memphis. I think what he showed a few years ago is one of the main reasons I think Portland was pretty confident moving on from guys like Wesley Matthews. So I do believe there is a little something extra when he plays Memphis. But I think in the last matchup, nothing was going for Portland on the offensive end except for CJ, and Dame got off to a rough start. And how that backcourt works is they have really no problem deferring to each other and playing to that hot hand. And that was definitely the case in that matchup. I mean, there was no contributions from anyone else really of note, only two other players in double figures for the Blazers in that last game. I mean, we already talked about how Nurkic struggled, but I mean, Lillard wasn't far behind going 4-for-18 from the field. So really it was, you know, playing the hot hand and playing really the only way they were getting buckets in that game. And I think that really contributed to those 40 points.
Yeah, Grizzlies, like you said, mentioned, they really clamped down defense in that game, held Portland to just 83 points, which is to any NBA team in this day and age, which is impressive as it is. Their defense has been really good this season, hovering around second, third, fourth in the NBA as far as the defensive rating goes. Like you mentioned, though, not a lot of contributions from other players. What player who's off the player off the bench the Grizzlies should keep an eye out for in this game to really contribute for the bench of the Trailblazers?
I think Evan Turner, even when he's not scoring, I think he's that catalyst for that second unit. He's the de facto point guard. They surround him with shooters. If he is playing in control and limiting his turnovers, he's really good. He had a great game against Toronto this last week. Only one turnover in that game, and it really made a difference for that entire second unit. He likes to play a little bit of that weird post game. He's really not an outside threat, as everybody kind of knows by now. But he's one of those guys where he's really good at feeding big men shooters like Myers Leonard and Zach Collins. They do really well, you know, as trailers when he gets inside. So that he's a guy to watch. If he's playing in control, it usually means that the Blazers second unit is usually probably going to have a little bit better night than they normally have.
And you guys have, and that game was a weird starter, Jake Layman, I guess a second-year guy, 15 minutes a game. What's up? Who is Jake Layman? Tell us all.
that is an excellent question. So Jake Layman is a guy from Maryland, second-round pick. Just kind of, you know, one of those guys who has hung out in Portland system. Portland doesn't have a G League affiliate, so you don't really see a lot of these guys, but they do a lot of their development in-house. Layman's playing time has been really hit and miss as Maurice Harkless has come back from injury. But he's one of those guys who really just plays within himself. He knows what he's good at and he knows what to avoid. But he's very aggressive from the perimeter on those shots, and he's a very athletic finisher. So I don't know how much you're going to see him. He hasn't really got a lot of run the last couple of games, but I think really how Coach Terry Stotts has operated in his tenure in Portland is he really rewards the guys in practice, but also they kind of have a feel for guys they have to get going. And with Maurice Harkless and his contract situation, and you're paying him $10 million, you know, there's obviously a little bit more emphasis to get him going and get him in rhythm after missing a bunch of time to start the year.
And finally, what's the starting lineup the Grizzlies can expect for this game against the Blazers?
I think Nurkic at center, Aminu and Harkless interchangeable at the forward spots, and then the steady backcourt of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
And the last question I have for you before I let you go, I saw this on Twitter. Is it true that Alfred Aminu does still have a BlackBerry? Is that true?
I think there was a picture of him coming into the tunnel, and it does look like he may or may not still have a BlackBerry. So there's a phenomenon going on with him that I don't know if it's so much this year, but he would find the grainiest pictures possible and then put them on his Instagram feed. So and he caught a lot of flack in the locker room from other guys of like, What are you using Windows 95 to download these pictures from the team site? Like, what are you doing? So he's definitely someone who is kind of fun to watch as far as technology goes, because you never know what curveball he's going to throw at you.
He clearly found the source for the grainy pictures. It is indeed a BlackBerry from 2005, 2006, or maybe.
Yeah, that definitely. You know, we're connecting dots here.
So, absolutely, man. Well, again, Steve, I appreciate you joining me, man. Again, you can follow Steve at Steve D Hoops, writes for the Blazers Edge and the Rockets Wire for USA Today, man. I appreciate you taking the time out and talking about this Blazers Grizzlies game coming up tonight.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Thanks again to Steve for joining me. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. It's always good to be able to talk to him. It's been a while since we've spoken. But I appreciate Steve coming on and giving us a little more insight from the Blazers' perspective and what we can see from them, what they might do. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at King_producer. Make sure you continue the conversation over there. If you have questions, tweet me, hit me on the DMs on either Twitter handle, or just email us at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. If you even like to be a featured sponsor on the show, please email me there at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at lockedongrizzlies.com.